Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. My pleasure, as always, to continue to be with you. I'm Jim Blasingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show, and I'm glad you're here. We're having a little technical difficulty getting our first guest on the show. We're working on that, but in the meantime, it's just going to be you and me. We're going to continue to march because I want to talk about something very similar, very very compatible with what I told you earlier we were going to talk about, and that is your frontline folks, your frontline team members, the people who are out on the front line. Big companies call them customer-facing employees, customer-facing team members, associates, representatives, whatever term you use for your employees. Customer-facing. I never forget the first time I heard that. I knew what it was. It was intuitive, completely intuitive, right? But you never hear a little company say anything like this. Always big companies who say that. But it's intuitive, customer-facing. So I think it's okay. I think it's appropriate for you and me to think about that. In fact, I think it's a good idea because your customer-facing facing employees are the ones who are closest to the customers, right? That's what that means. So I think it's appropriate if small business owners think about that and use that term because it will help you to make sure that when your customers are contacted, they do make contact with you, that you've already thought about who these people are who are making that contact. It might not be you. It probably isn't you. It probably is a salesperson. Probably is the person who answers your phone. It probably is a manager, et cetera, et cetera. So what do you know about what those people, how much have you given those people responsibility to make sure that they take care of the customer, but also at the same time that they take good care of your brand? And we got Jane Jordan-Meyer here with us. She's with us now. She is the author of The Four Stages of Highly Effective Crisis Management. Jane Jordan-Meyer, welcome back to the show.
Hello there. Hi, Jim.
It's good to have you back, Jane. I was just telling the audience about the concept of customer-facing employees, people who are actually touching, contacting, connecting with, making it happen out there in the marketplace. They're the face of your business, aren't they?
They are the most important
and the voice,
people
the face,
in your business.
The face and the voice of your business.
They most definitely are, and they are often neglected, even in small business, because when it comes to a crisis, they are the most vulnerable and the most important. They are the ambassadors for your business. And so just imagine if something had happened in your ice cream parlory or wherever, whatever side of small business you have, and they know you in the local area and you're lining up in the supermarket queue or line in the supermarket line, and they go, oh, hey, Joe, what happened at the parlor today? And you know what, Jim? Unfortunately, most human beings default to type, which is negative. We like to gossip.
Right.
So unless we've been, we do, we like to gossip. So unless we've actually been given a little bit of training or we've been given a few little words to say or we have been informed about what to say, we'll actually say, oh, gee, it could have been a lot worse, you know. You should have seen the batch of ice cream last week.
Mm-hmm.
So
what we do, though, is if there is an issue in our company, something should happen. But you know, it doesn't have to be catastrophic. It doesn't have to be. It could just be literally that we ran out of product or something. It doesn't have to be something that you alert the media for. It could be something as small as dealing with a customer. And a lot of people don't prepare the frontline employees with that kind. They don't empower them with the kind of information that they need that might just diffuse the whole thing and it may never become a big deal. What do you think?
I completely agree with you, Jim. You're 100% right. And it gets the tiny things that that make the difference and will make people want to come back to ring us again or order something for us again or come back into the door. So it's how you're treated when you walk in the door, whether it's a smile or a scowl on the face. And you can hear that over the phone. Sometimes it's the tone of your voice over the phone that can make a huge difference.
Well, I'll give you an example. Somebody became newsworthy that this person had left the company, and so the newspaper published it. Well, when asked about that, whoa, is everything all right with your company? How are things going? And you know, then the person at the company who said to me, well, you know, the truth is that's been planned for a month. The newspaper just finally got a hold of it. This is an orderly thing, even though the newspaper didn't report it that way. So that whole thing was diffused right there.
Oh, yes, and it's very important that we do that. You know, the number one rule is always to be open and transparent, and I think today even more so. You know, when you look at the social media and everybody's ability today to become a citizen journalist, we can all be journalists today.
Right.
Rumors can abound very, very fast, but as soon as somebody puts the facts out there like, oh, well, that was actually planned a month ago, it diffuses it immediately. And you know what, Jim, this is the really interesting thing that researchers have found about the social media, that we all think that Twitter might abound with rumor and it's unsafe, when in fact it's actually self-policing.
Right.
It's self-policing. So the social media is actually a very valuable an inexpensive tool for small business. I highly encourage when working with small businesses, medium-sized businesses, when they're looking about crisis planning and saying, well, Twitter and Facebook can actually not only build your marketing presence, but can actually help you enormously in a crisis.
Mm-hmm.
And you never want, because one bad tweet can put you out of business, but if you have your facts out there and you have and you encourage and train and have common sense guidelines about what to do.
So are you saying that we need to use, for most small businesses, common sense should prevail over hiring a PR firm?
I think, having run a PR firm and work with a lot of small businesses, there are always good and bad PR firms. But you can waste a lot of money unless you're very strategic and very careful about it.
Right.
But you know, common sense. There's nothing like a good old dose of common sense that works very well, whether you're in crisis or whether you're actually starting a business from scratch.
Hold on to that thought, Jane. We're going to take a quick break. The book is called The Four Stages of Highly Effective Crisis Management by Jane Jordan-Meyer. She and I will be right back. It's 20 after. Stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.